Stop me if you've heard this before. 21 wins in Vegas. We're talking the incredible journey of Josh Berry. Plus, who needs four tight wheels when you have a teammate on the other end of pit road? Those stories and more on this edition of Fast Talk.
It's Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network, presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's your host for Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of Fast Talk, post-Las Vegas, the St. Patrick's Day edition of the show. I'm not Doug Rice. I'm Alan Cavana, filling in for birthday boy Doug Rice. I heard he had a great weekend out in Vegas. Hit one of those Denny Hamlin slot machines. Hit big money. I don't know if we'll ever see Doug again. Maybe he's on vacation, or maybe he'll be back next week. We shall see. But I'm happy to be joined by Alexis Erickson from PRN, as well as Lee Spencer from Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, as well as CatchFence.com, who is still out in Las Vegas. Lee, I know it's early out there. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm just thrilled to be here because yesterday was such an amazing day. The energy in Las Vegas was, it was just like a Las Vegas I'd never felt before. And then the action absolutely delivered. And going out to pit road, you knew with two laps left, you were hoping at least there would not be a caution. And one of three guys would be a first-time winner this year and possibly a first-time winner in their Cup career. And boy, did we get that with Josh Berry.
Yeah, Josh Berry getting his first win. We're going to talk about his story because it is that ladder climb that we've always wanted to see in NASCAR. But at Alexis, maybe a surprise win, but not surprising, right, given who he drives for, the performance he was doing. An upset win, maybe. Not a surprise to a lot of people.
I certainly don't think so. I mean, you look at, like you said, who he drives for, which we talk about. I think a lot of credit needs to be given to the Wood Brothers as a team. We often like to lump them together with Penske, and rightfully so. That car is handled and cured and everything at the shop in Mooresville for Team Penske, but it is the Wood Brothers car. But when you think about Josh Berry and you think about Las Vegas, I mean, most people, conventional wisdom would say, oh, well, he'll get a win, but he'll get it at Martinsville or Bristol. Hey, he's got two Xfinity Series wins at Las Vegas, and one of them was as a sub for Michael Annette. You know what I mean? I mean, just a one-off that he was in, and he went and won. So he is very, very good at Las Vegas. So no, not a surprise. Maybe an upset, but not a surprise.
A lot of people upset in Las Vegas yesterday, but not the 21 crew. No one in that victory lane. Let's go to that victory lane interview because it was the first, probably not the last, for Josh Berry.
All right, he is pulled into victory lane. Josh Berry putting on the sunglasses, and he is about to climb out of the car. He's looking at the crew, big smile on his face, and I'm going to stand back here a second because they're about to shoot off a cannon with confetti, and here it comes. He's pumping his fist, and oh, man, what a scene here in victory lane. Wow, congratulations. What better place for your first win to come than a place you've won twice in the Xfinity Series? How does it feel to have that first Cup win under your belt now?
Man, I just can't believe it. I'm just so proud of everybody on this team. The car was really solid all day. We just executed and, you know, had a mishap on pit road, was able to rebound again, and just super proud of these guys. Just really trying to soak this all in, honestly. Trying to take my time with everything and really enjoy this moment.
What were you thinking when they had you come down pit road to tighten up that wheel?
I mean, it was obviously disappointing, but thankfully the wheel stayed on, and, you know, we were able to make it to pit road before Miles was going to get a vacation. So, yeah, I don't know. It just broke up the race. There's a lot of strategy going on, and we were able to capitalize on it and had a great battle with Joey and was hoping it would run green, but, you know, we got the caution, and these pit crew, they rebounded and they dug deep at the end, had a great stop, and we fought for the win.
You know the history of the Wood Brothers. What does it mean to you to bring them win 101?
I'm just really proud of everybody on this team, right? This is a great group, and they build great race cars, and it's just been a privilege to drive for them, and I'm just so really thankful to be here. Man, there's so many people that I could thank for this moment, but to be a Cup Series winner is really special.
Welcome to Victory Lane. Welcome to the playoffs.
Thank you.
welcome to the All-Star race. A lot of accolades that come along with getting your first victory in the Cup Series. Lee, I know you were there too in Victory Lane. We were looking at those pictures. The whole team out there at the start-finish line, of course, then moving to Victory Lane. What was that atmosphere like for a first-time winner, especially one with the ladder climb, again, the journey that Josh Berry's had?
Well, first of all, I just have to talk about the atmosphere in general at Las Vegas. I took my cousin Michelle with me. It was her first time at the track, and she had been to, I think, Kansas Speedway before with us, certainly Gateway. That's her home track, my home track too. But she was absolutely blown away by just the excitement, the energy, everything that goes on at that track. It was like nothing she had ever seen. She has been to Daytona as, you know, a teenager and, you know, had fond memories of that. But she was just bubbling the whole time because she just kind of bought into what was going on. I tried to get her to go to Victory Lane. I wish she would have because it was such a party. There were six fans deep around the Neon Garage. You all have been there before. You know what I'm talking about. There's nothing like it. The fan access is so cool because they get to experience that with Josh Berry. And then John Schneider comes in and, you know, interrupts my interview. And he goes, you know, he just, the two of them just started cutting up and breaking up. And I don't know why he felt the need to go congratulate Josh, but he did. Kyle Larson stopped by, Austin Cindric, Greg Penske came in, Mike Nelson, who's president of the Cup program at Team Penske, was there. But the fan reaction, John Wood had to leave before I could interview him. And I said, well, you know, you can come upstairs. We'll interview you there. He goes, I've left my dogs out in the car all day. The dogs stole the show in the post race. I don't know if you all saw that, but that was just absolutely nuts. But just the emotions of the Wood brothers, honestly, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong, but when Josh Berry, when I found out he was going to be the driver of that car, and it was somewhere like around Loudon last year, last summer, I said, what's it going to mean to you if you get that 100th win for the Wood brothers? And he couldn't say anything yet. He just winked. I expected him to get 100. I'm glad he got 101, but it was, you know, 75th anniversary for the Wood brothers, and you all have spent time with them as well. They treat everybody like they're the extended family. And when you go into a Victory Lane celebration like that, it's different. I won't say it's like more wholesome or something, but there's just a genuine feel to it. They're not going through the motions. They're savoring every moment.
Alexis, you don't see many 30-plus-year-old first-time winners in the Cup Series anymore. This is a unique story. I know you know Josh and family and stuff like that. From your perspective, what does this mean for NASCAR to see someone climb this ladder and do it in this way and get the success you knew was there? It's just not many people take a chance on a quote-unquote older driver anymore in the Cup Series.
Yeah, you know, I kind of think about it like the stars kind of had to all align, right? And don't get me wrong. I mean, obviously, he is an immense talent. We all know that. But there were things that were roadblocks along his journey that he was able to overcome. And there are so many people. I mean, he's the first National Series, Weekly Series touring champion to win a Cup Series race, first car tour champion to win a Cup Series race. So many firsts that he accomplished yesterday. It's unheard of. You don't see that happening. And the journey that him and his family have gone through, the amount of effort and just tireless devotion that he has put in to getting to this level is what I think why Lee experienced what she did yesterday in Victory Lane, because you heard him in our interview that Brett McMillan did with him on the air yesterday. And he said, look, I'm just trying to savor this. Like, this is a moment that I don't want to forget. And you think about 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds that get to Victory Lane, and maybe they don't have that wisdom at that time. You know, he is, quote unquote, you know, not a rookie anymore. He's a rookie last year, but he's in his second year. He's a sophomore driver, but he has got the wisdom of a veteran, which I think is going to serve him well. And it feels like it's such a great fit for him, you know, at 34 years old with that veteran mentality at the Wood Brothers. They just seem, and they said it multiple times in their press conference yesterday after the race, it just feels right. He said it after he got his fourth place finish at Phoenix the week before. I finally feel like myself. And so his journey has been a long one, and one that he has worked tirelessly at. And I have to say, I don't think there's anybody else in the garage that deserves what happened yesterday more than he does.
Certainly a unique story. We talked with Josh a bit more afterward, and we asked him about that journey. Here's what he had to say about not changing anything about
it. I wouldn't change anything about how I got here. I look back now and I miss those days tremendously, right? With my driving with my buddies to all these racetracks, working on my own car. Those people made me who I am and made me the way I think and way I approach racing. And I wouldn't change anything about it.
Yeah. Unique indeed. The way he was able to come up, stick with it, stick with the late models, the cars tour, the short tracks of America, and work his way up to the Cup Series, getting his first career Cup Series win at Las Vegas. A lot more happened than just, we'll talk about that journey in the race on Sunday, how he got to the lead and who he had to contend with to get that first victory. When we come back, this is today's edition of Fast Talk. Stay with us.
Motorsports isn't complicated. It's made up of races where you go as fast as you can, as best as you can, and as sideways as you can. Our team, Toyota Gazoo Racing. Toyota makes some seriously fast cars, and they all have great drivers, ones that win, like win a lot. Denny Hamlin, Christopher Bell, they're all part of a big, happy family of speed demons. Now you're up to speed. You in? Follow the action at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association of Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Denny Hamlin, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
Speedway Children's Charities raises money through several different avenues. My favorite is the gala.
It's one of those can't-miss events for everybody who attends. And I've been able to raise and distribute over $60 million.
When you have 50 different organizations receiving grants from Speedway Children's Charities, that's far-reaching. And some people think, well, I don't have much money to give. I say, $50 is a lot to give.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Go out for Josh Berry, who leads the Pennzoil 400. Only 1.5 more miles to go here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
Josh Berry has been inside the top 5 or top 10 all day long, and on a late restart, charged to the race lead, looking for career win number one. Josh Berry off of turn 2 for the final time.
Nobody backed into this one. Josh Berry earned this one all afternoon long. One more time, puts that Ford smoothly into turn number 3, stands back up on the gas, headed for home.
Josh Berry was not the odds-on favorite, but he is going to be the upset winner of the Pennzoil 400 at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. He gets his first career victory. It is 53rd start and win 101 for the iconic Wood Brothers Racing Team.
A wonderful final call from our friends at the Performance Racing Network. Welcome back. I'm Alan Cavana, joined by Lee Spencer and Alexis Erickson on today's edition of Fast Talk, breaking down that Las Vegas race. Lee Spencer, Josh Berry, the winner, his first one, much to celebrate, of course, But a lot happened in this race. For a long time, it looked like the Hendrick cars were going to win. William Byron, Kyle Larson, Joey Logano looked to be in the catbird seat at one point. How'd you make of how this race played out with the strategy, the calls, the fuel, the pitting, and everything that happened on Sunday?
As we talked about earlier, there were so many mistakes. One of the things, and even Josh Berry, they had a loose wheel. They had to come in late in the race and get that tied. But 9 speeding penalties yesterday, 22 different drivers were afflicted with something throughout the course of the race. And it came down to execution. I know we're talking about Josh Berry. There's a 34-year-old guy finally getting that breakthrough. And one of you said in that interview, he felt like himself again. Ryan Preece said the same exact thing. Another 34-year-old finally getting his first, opportunity to feel he's someplace where he's wanted. He mentioned to me yesterday about having teammates that really cared about him, who wanted to see him succeed, and to have that kind of base as well. They had to, have a flawless day to get where they were after a tough outing in the first 4 races. And here's a situation. Ryan Preece had never had even a top 10 finish at that track. So to get the best result that he did for RFK for the season with a podium finish, that's saying something. To go back really quick, I want to talk about Victory Lane. One more thing I wanted to add. Josh Berry would not be here without Dale Earnhardt Jr. And he did get to FaceTime him. He said for about 10 seconds, Dale was at the beach this weekend. He had a good weekend, right? I mean, between Justin Allgaier winning for JRM on Saturday and Josh Berry, his protege, coming out up with the dub, I think that was huge. But if you were able to persevere through your adversity yesterday, or you were able to have a flawless day, it really paid off big in Las Vegas.
I'm glad you brought up Ryan Preece, because Ryan Preece and Josh Berry have a little something in common. We just have to go back to last year and the teams they were on, team that no longer exists, Stuart Haas Racing, and they both end up in the top 3 on Sunday. We heard from Ryan Preece after the race. Here's what he said. He brought that up.
Going into the season, we just, the motto is live by the fire, die by the fire, and take chances, be aggressive, be on the offense, and just put us in position. So, man, I'm happy for Josh. I really liked him when we were teammates, and I'm glad. I feel, Josh said he felt like himself again, and I felt the same today.
What a quote. What a quote, Alexis, because not even a full season. We're 5 races in removed from this tumultuous season that both Josh Berry, Ryan Preece, Noah Gregson, Chase Briscoe had last year with Stuart Haas Racing closing. Now we get to the first, kind of real race of the season. It's Las Vegas, the first 1.5-mile track. And now these two drivers are on teams that are putting them in top 5 equipment, maybe opportunities they didn't have last year. What do you make of their journey and what we're seeing in this first, the bread and butter of NASCAR, these 1.5-mile tracks? And it's Josh Berry, Daniel Suarez, and Ryan Preece finishing 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, it just goes to show that if you put yourself in the right situation, things can pay off. And Josh even said that in his post-race availability yesterday, like he obviously wouldn't change anything about how he got here, but he's in a situation now where he feels comfortable and he's got fast race cars. He's clicking with Miles. You look at Ryan Preece. He is also having that same success. Yesterday, Noah Gregson, was running pretty well there for a while before he had some mishaps that took him back further in the field. And so when you look at what happened to them at Stuart Haas Racing I know Lee could probably speak to this because she spoke to them a lot last year about how their season was. And Josh even mentioned, like, after he was already tabbed to go to the 21 car, he still felt a pressure about going out and performing in the 4 because he knew he was being watched by his new team. He knew there was this pressure on him to kind of perform and show them that they made the right decision before he even got in that car. So for Josh and for Ryan and for anybody else that's in in that situation, being able to perform and say, hey, you guys made the right choice. You know, where this is the thing that's clicking. We are making progress. Things are happening the way we want it to. And that's got to be huge. That has got to be like a huge weight lifted off of their chest. And you can hear that obviously in Josh in Victory Lane, but even in that interview with Ryan Preece, where he's like, I feel like myself again. And that in itself is such a huge thing to have momentum at your back, you know?
Lee, this race flipped in the final stage when it came down to strategy. I like to remind everybody, strategy is not luck. The 21, the 99, Ryan Preece in the 60 car, their strategy was different from the Hendrick cars. And even the other Penske car, Austin Cindric, Ross Chastain, they were two different strategies. It was the strategy of the 21 that ended up getting him to victory lane. When to fuel, when to stay out. The Hendrick cars may have been faster, Lee, but they had a different strategy that ultimately kept them from victory lane.
Kyle Larson came over the radio when Cliff was telling him to save. And he said, Cliff basically said, you don't have enough fuel to get to the end. And Kyle said tongue in cheek, not even the Penske cars have enough fuel to get to the end. So I think that they know one of the issues that they have is that they use probably a lot more fuel. I won't say lot, but you know what I'm saying. When it comes down to terms of when you have to save and when you don't, it was certainly top of mind for the Hendrick cars, and they came in and topped off. And so, yes, there was a different strategy going on between the teams, and the three drivers that did finish up front, they were on a completely different strategy. That being said, when you also look at that group, Preece is 34, Barry's 34, Suarez is 33. This is an older, you know, group of guys that, you know, they're not lifers in the series, but they have been around long enough to know how to get the pieces to come together. The other thing that you were talking about was the weight off their shoulders, and Miles Stanley to get a win this early in his Cup career. It's a tough deal, even though, and Alexis knows this because your husband works at Team Penske, but even though you're part of Team Penske, when you're asked to go and do an offshoot like the 21 car, you still have a lot of eyeballs on you. And I think Miles Stanley might have been even more relieved because Penske sets their employees up. You know, there's such a high level of excellence to live up to, and to get the win so early for Miles as well, I think that this team can now just look at it and, okay, we're going for wins, you know, at least until the playoffs start. They can really start preparing for the final 10 races.
A great day out in Las Vegas for the Wood Brothers, Team Penske. A lot of laps led, a lot of speed for Team Hendrick. What happened to Joe Gibbs Racing at Las Vegas? We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Fast Talk.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Imagine the roar of the engines, the smell of burnt rubber, the electrifying energy of the crowd. It feels like America. It's the Food City 500 NASCAR weekend, April 11th through the 13th. It's racing the way it ought to be. This year, it's a triple header weekend with the thrill of trucks, Xfinity, and Cup racing packed into three heart-pounding days. Visit BristolMotorSpeedway.com for tickets and details.
I'm Alex Bowman, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Anytime you get somebody at the front of the pack who's not used to running up there and who's not been there, the established names are going to scream. They're going to cry. They're going to whine. Oh, there's somebody else coming up here to get my trophy and get my money. It's Carson Hocevar. What's he doing up here? He had just as much right to get in there and force the issue. And if not for the caution, he's a race winner.
Hey, this is Doug Rice of the Performance Racing Network. That's Fast Talk right here on PRN.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Welcome back to this week's edition of Fast Talk Post Las Vegas. I'm Alan Cavana, filling in for Doug Rice. Happy to be joined by Lee Spencer and Alexis Erickson. And it sounds like, we're going to talk to the birthday boy. Is that confirmed? Our friend Doug Rice, live and on air from Las Vegas, Nevada. How you doing, Doug?
I'm doing fantastic, Alan. Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Glad to be chatting with you, getting ready to dash over to the airport. Yes, it is my birthday. I turned 70 today. Mentally, I feel wow. like I'm 45. Physically, probably close to 70, except for my knees, and I think they're like 120.
You don't look a day over 49, Doug. But look, we won't say you're old. We'll say you're experienced, of course. You've seen a lot in this sport. Does it ever get old seeing another Wood Brothers victory? You saw another one yesterday, Doug. Put this in perspective. We've seen that 21 car win a lot of things, but recently, you know, the last few, they've been special.
We have seen it win. Up until now, I think the most significant win that I saw for the Wood Brothers was when Kyle Petty won the Coke 600 one year. And they fuel mileage their way in. And that was special because I like Kyle and everybody likes the Woods. So that was cool. But how they won it yesterday was impressive to me. This was not a fluke. This was not fuel mileage. This was not anything. This was at the end of the race. They had the fastest car and were able to drive away.
Well, Doug, I want to ask you about your experience yesterday at the racetrack, because this is the first time you've been back to Las Vegas Motor Speedway since being the lead anchor for the Performance Racing Network, and you were doing PA for the track. How was that?
It is a different experience than being on the radio. What NASCAR Productions runs that, and what they want out of a PA announcer is not the same thing as what I did for 36 years as the play-by-play guy on the radio. It's a different discipline. It was fun. It was interesting. I worked with some really cool people. But the two are very much alike. And I think Saturday, the producer in the booth pulled me aside. He goes, "You have to think about this more like television." He goes, "You don't need to talk that much." And I'm like, cool.
A career radio man being asked not to talk too much. Doug, Denny Hamlin hit it big on the slot machines. I was hoping you did the same, and maybe you were going out on vacation instead of coming back here to the Charlotte area. Any luck to report back?
No. I was doing great until about 9 o'clock local time last night, and the roulette wheel just crashed on me. But it's okay. It's okay. I love staying here. We're out at the South Point. That's a great venue, so it's all good.
Doug, from your perch yesterday, and maybe you had a different perspective than I did in the media center, that was one of the craziest races I think I have ever seen. And as I said yesterday on Sirius, I really think that the next gen car performs the best. We get the best product on intermediate tracks. That was one of the most scintillating races I have ever seen at Las Vegas, but with the strategy and the penalties and just the crazy things happening to veterans or on pit road, what did you see from your perspective? Because from where I was sitting, it was nuts.
I was thinking about that before I got on this call. It was a jumble of a race. I mean, Christopher Bell starts in the back. Christopher Bell moves to the front. He gets another penalty, goes to the back. He goes back to the front. Denny Hamlin is a lap down before the race even starts, it seems like, floundering around, looking awful. And then I look up at one point, and he's running third, challenging for the lead. It really was. And it was a lot of side-by-side, a lot of nose-to-tail. And I never felt like the race got to that point, okay, they're just making laps. And I did see yesterday, Lee, the one thing that really jumped out at me is if you were the leader, there still is a big advantage. Early in the race, Joey Logano started, I think, on the outside pole, and he got up there and led pretty much all of that stage. And it was kind of the same for Josh Berry. At the end, I mean, he made some nice moves to get up there and pass people. But once he got to the lead, I thought, okay, he's got this thing. And I was really happy for Josh, by the way.
So obviously,
the bumps as severe as they sounded from the driver, you know, from what you could see, were the bumps as severe as what the drivers were explaining on the radio?
You know, where I saw them getting twitchy was out of four a lot. They'd come off there and then fishtail a little bit, and the butt end of the car would kick around a little bit. I can't address that all that adroitly because it kind of smooths it out from where I was watching it.
So, Doug, obviously Josh is the one, you know, that hit blackjack yesterday in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I did.
But
oh, see what you did there.
What I did there? Look at that. So clever this morning. But, you know, who needed, you know, some help yesterday? Obviously, we talked about some guys that had really great days yesterday, the top three, Josh and Daniel and Ryan Preece. But who's leaving Las Vegas, you know, with a headache this morning?
I think Ty Gibbs' headache has just turned into a massive migraine. He can't get anything right. Nothing. I mean, he spun the car around on pit road yesterday. They need to give him a week off. It's just not good for him. And I think Ryan Blaney left here with a bit of a headache. He had a pretty competitive race car, and he got caught up in a wreck. And he admitted when he talked to Brett McMillan, I think, on pit road afterwards, he said, "I kind of did that." He said, I thought the situation was two to the outside, one to the inside. It was opposite. He goes, "I used up too much racetrack."
Yeah, a lot of frustrations, a lot of happiness out of Las Vegas, but frustrations as well. Doug, we'll let you get on your way. Have safe travels on your birthday. Thank you for taking time out of your day to join us. Look forward to the next time we talk, my friend.
Real treat to be on with you this morning. Everybody be good.
Yeah, the man, the legend, the birthday boy himself, Doug Rice. He brought up the other end of things. We talked about Josh Berry, Daniel Suarez, Ryan Preece, how happy they are. The other side of things, really all of JGR, not the day they wanted on Sunday. We'll talk about it when we come back on this edition of Fast Talk.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm Bubba Wallace, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Whether it's skating around the racetrack on a set of rollerblades or turning laps in a Legends car, join J.C. Fickenshire on J.C.'s Garage.
All it takes is one win, and that one win can completely clear the driver's mind. I could even see it happening if Todd Gilliland wins a race, or Noah Gregson wins a race, Zane Smith wins a race. These guys are guys who are just searching for one win, one chance.
J.C.'s Garage, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome back to Fast Talk, this week's edition post-Las Vegas, St. Patrick's Day edition as well. Hopefully everyone has the luck of the Irish, the luck that Josh Berry had on Sunday as well, but not everyone did. I'm happy to be joined by Alexis Erickson and Lee Spencer, still out there in Las Vegas. Lee, let's start with you, because there was one major team that seemed absent for much of Sunday, and the results show that. Joe Gibbs Racing, their best finisher, was the man who'd been on fire. He was going for four in a row. Christopher Bell started at the back of the field because of a throttle issue, only able to make it up to 12th, and that was the high point of the day for JGR. What'd you make of JGR as a whole? And I ask mainly because Las Vegas is a playoff track. Las Vegas is a mile and a half. This was considered the first real race of the year, right, within the terms of the bread and butter of the tracks that NASCAR Cup Series goes to, and the Gibbs Toyotas weren't really there.
You had problems with the three juggernauts, with the alpha teams from each manufacturer yesterday. Let's start with Gibbs, right? Because Christopher Bell starts at the back, which is not, you know, not something that you want to have to go through when you're trying to attempt to become the first four-time consecutive winner since Jimmy Johnson. So he comes from the back, gets up to the front, then he gets a, you know, penalty for pitting outside of his box, because what happens? He has a loose wheel and he has to come back and pit in Chase Briscoe's box, which you all have been covering this for a long time. I've been covering it for a long time, the sport for a long time. I've never seen anything like this before in my life. Loose wheel for the 19. I mean, that, you know, that comes off and then his whole day goes to hell. And you talk about somebody that really needed a good outing. I mean, that's the 19 team. They have been snake bit this year. Then he gets a speeding penalty and it's like, boom. And then, you know, probably the most graphic of all, Ty Gibbs comes to pit road. He gets clobbered by the 77 and gets spun around. And so you have four different situations with four different teams. And it's like, this is, it's just absolutely brutal. The execution by Joe Gibbs Racing on Sunday just was not typical of what we're used to seeing out of that group. And, you know, I did talk to Christopher Bell afterwards. He was disappointed, but he knew that he was starting from behind. The fact that he was able to go back, you know, go to the rear and come up twice, I think that says a lot about their, you know, we're not giving up kind of attitude. But at the end, it just, you know, it was just one too many times for that team. You also mentioned Team Hendrick, and I've got to give a shout out to Alex Bowman, because first of all, Alex Bowman had a loose wheel. Loose wheels, I mean, that was the you know, stopper of the day for so many of these teams. Lap 90, he said, this is the loosest I have ever. He goes, this is the biggest vibration I have ever had since driving a race car. So then after that, he gets a speeding penalty on lap 115 to compound the problem. The fact that he finished with a top 10 result, you know, I got to almost give my shout out to Bowman yesterday, because his ability to come back from adversity twice, I thought that was pretty sporty.
You know, one thing that Lee said there that really stuck out to me, and I thought about it a lot yesterday, was compounding problems. Mm. And when you think about a lot of the things that have happened to these teams that we see had rough days yesterday, it was not one issue. It was multiple issues. And in this day and age, and in how hard these races are to win and how competitive it is every single Sunday, you might be able to come back from one issue. Josh Berry had an issue, came back, was able to obviously win the race. And there's probably some more of that smattered in here somewhere too when you look at closely at the top 10. But when you have multiple issues on pit road, multiple things, you cannot compound that and easily get back to a good finish on Sunday these days, because it's just so competitive. It's so hard to run well. And one issue, maybe multiple issues, it's just not going to happen.
And we don't have to overreact over one race. It was just odd to see a team at Joe Gibbs Racing level have so many mistakes across the board as an organization. And just the mistakes that you were talking about and how they compound. Because when you do have those mistakes, what's it do? It puts you back in the field. Bubba and the 23 car, they were having good pit stops. They were having a good day. They make one mistake, or there's a minor issue, puts them back in the field, then they get caught up in the wreck. When you're back in the field, it puts you in that position to be a part of the crap that's going on back there when you have those restarts late in a race, and that ruins your whole day. So a tough day for Joe Gibbs Racing across the board, a lot of issues on pit road, loose wheels, and I'll echo what Lee said. I've never seen anything like that odd pit stop where Christopher Bell leaves his pit box. They immediately know that there is an issue with the left side, and they tell him immediately, pit in somebody's box. And Christopher Bell has the wherewithal to find his teammate, the 19, and they have the wherewithal to fix it right away. Apparently legal. I wrote, you know, today I learned that that's a thing you can do. I don't know how long that's going to be a legal thing. That seems like it's something that has to be addressed. You're just opening up a can of worms, Alexis. If everyone can just start pitting in other people's boxes, all this stuff, it just seems like something that will be addressed.
Well, I think, you know, when you look back at the video replay of what happened yesterday with Christopher Bell, the biggest thing that stands out to me is I don't know how he didn't crash into another car trying to get into the pit box of Chase Briscoe. And one of those cars actually that snuck by was Josh Berry he almost clipped on the way into the 19 pit stall. So because of that factor, I think you're probably going to maybe see NASCAR come out with, you know, some kind of bulletin on this in the near future. Who knows? I certainly don't have a crystal ball, but I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. But when you think about just heads up awareness of things, like just to have that thought in the moment, okay, this is what we need to do, because it probably did save, you know, his crew chief from a vacation. And there's going to be a lot of folks on vacation after this week. So, interesting times for sure.
Just when you think you've seen it all, something pops up and we see something new every single weekend. So let's go over how the Toyotas did on Sunday. The top performing Toyota was the 20 car still of Christopher Bell in 12th, 17th Chase Briscoe, 20th John Hunter Nemechek in the Backstreet Boys Toyota. Ty Gibbs ended up 22nd, Tyler Reddick 24th, Denny Hamlin 25th, Eric Jones 27th, Bubba Wallace 28th, Todd, and rounding out the field for the Toyota. That's a Toyota Performance Report presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. More Fast Talk when we come back.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced. Call now. If the lines are busy, please call back.
Call the Home Warranty Hotline now at 800-610-2650. 800-610-2650. 800-610-2650. That's 800-610-2650.
I'm Eric Almirola, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. If you want a show with no limits on opinions, join us each week for The Pit Reporters.
It proves that these guys are of the elite motorsports level. Being able to win the way that he did, I think, means even more that there weren't any fenders being put to anybody. And for those guys to show what they can do, to race cleanly, On a road course, they've certainly proved what they can do.
We're starting to see the top competitors become top road course racers.
Join us each week for the Pit Reporters.
It's not about the cars, the speed, the action. It's not about the party or the long weekend. It's about them, the ones that gave everything. This Memorial Day weekend, we honor the fallen at America's Home for Racing.
The 66th running of the Coca-Cola 600.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. I'm Alan Cavana, along with Alexis Erickson and Lee Spencer, joining us from Las Vegas. But we're going to throw it to the voice in the booth for our favorite segment, Green Flag, Black Flag.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
America's favorite NASCAR-themed game show. Of course, how many of those are there? We're going to read carefully prepared statements. Our panel will mull those statements over. If they agree, they give it a green flag. And David Stiles, yeah, do it again. That's great, David. Thank you. Disagree, they give it a black flag. And if they're all in union and harmony, there we go. Here we go. And I'll start with Lee Spencer because she's in the faraway land of Las Vegas. And this is long distance, so we got to get her done here. Josh Berry, Lee. Josh Berry will win three or more races this season.
Can I throw a yellow on that? I think he might win two, but I think three's a little out there.
Three is out there. Okay, Alan Cavana.
Black flag. Three or more, that's asking a lot. It's like the Seinfeld episode when he wants when the kid wants a Paul O'Neill hit a home run and then he asked for two home runs. You're getting a little greedy. Three or more. I mean, one win is all you need to make the playoffs. One win is good.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Three or more. Black flag.
Alexis Erickson, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to say black flag too. I do think he will get another win this season, but I want to read this tweet by our very own Hank Lee. Yesterday he tweeted, Josh Berry can do something that hasn't been done since Kyle Petty in 1987, win multiple races with the Wood Brothers. Six others won just one between Petty's win and Charlotte and Berry at Vegas. The Woods haven't won multiple races in a season since Neil Bonnett in 1981. Not that it can't be done, because I certainly think he will win again this year, but three or more might be much.
All right, let's go to Alan Cavana for this one. We will see fewer than 12 different race winners this year in the Cup Series. Fewer than 12.
Black flag. When's the last time that happened? I mean, just the last few years with the parity that the next gen, Gen 7, has brought us, I think we see a lot of winners, especially when you throw Josh Berry. A lot of people, if you're being honest, you probably didn't have Josh Berry on your list of potential winners for 2025. Now that he's joined the list, yeah, we go way over 12.
All right, Alexis.
Yeah, I'm going to say, what was the question again?
We will see fewer than 12 different ones.
Yeah, I'm going to say black flag too. I mean, obviously, when you look at how the season started with Christopher Bell winning three in a row, you could maybe potentially see a road to that. But then you have to look back at like the trends of the next gen car, and I just don't see it happening.
All right, Lee, what do you think?
I say black flag because I really think that this race car in general just promotes winning. And somebody's going to hit on it differently week after week. I mean, the Bell thing, I agree with Alexis. It's not an anomaly and he could do it again. They could just get on a run because that team's just that strong. But I think there are going to be people coming out of the woodwork as we get out of this crazy, you know, first three races and into the meat of the schedule.
All right, Alexis, we go to you for this one. We will have another first-time winner in 2025.
Yeah, I'm going to say green flag. I mean, for a lot of the same reasons that we just talked about, because of this car and the parity that it shows and all of those things, I'm going to say, yeah, I think we will have another first-time winner.
Who's going to be?
I'm going to say Carson Hocevar.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think, you know, he might ruffle a lot of feathers in the process, but he's been fast. So I could certainly see it happening.
All right, Lee.
I talked to somebody on Ryan Preece's team before the race yesterday, and it was almost like, I don't think that he was going out on a limb. He said, we're going to win soon. They had not had a good first four races, but to get that top three at a place where, you know, he has not been crazy about intermediate tracks. He had one top 10 finish before yesterday at an intermediate track, and that was at Homestead last fall. Let me tell you something. Ryan Preece tested at Homestead after that race last fall. He feels very confident returning to Miami this weekend.
All right, Alan, what do you think?
Green flag. We all agree.
Wow.
Yeah, look, Lee's celebrating, we're all celebrating, because there's a lot of talent out there. A lot of talent, a lot of speed. Carson Hocevar has shown the speed. Ryan Preece has shown the speed. And again, we're talking first-time winners here. Todd Gilliland has led plenty of laps at the plate track. Well, not plate track, you know what I mean. Super speedways, the Daytonas and Talladegas of the world. We're still waiting on Ty Gibbs in Joe Gibbs Racing Equipment. A lot of talent there approaching that 100 start mark. So there's a lot of drivers. I was marking them out here. You know, we still have the Zane Smiths of the world. I don't know if he gets a win quite this year, but plenty of drivers showing the potential that they can do it. So, yes, we get another first-time winner.
Got one more here. Lee, will toss it to you first. Ty Gibbs is looking for the four-leaf clover, the gold at the end of the rainbow, the lucky horseshoe, even the luck of the Irish to help change his season at this point.
Absolutely green flag on that. I'll tell you why, because on Saturday night, I watched him barrel roll in the first lap of the high limit race, and it was a hell of a hit. And then he gets a speeding penalty out of the box at Las Vegas. This kid needs some positivity in his life. He had a great time at the dirt track. He wants to put more fun factor into his racing. I hope he finds it soon.
Alan, what do you think?
Yeah, green flag. He needs something. I'm wearing the green shirt. I want the gold. He needs something. I mean, Ty Gibbs, we know he has the talent, the equipment, the backing. But look, you got to get results speak. You know, take the names away and just show us the car and the speed that it has, and he's got to get it done.
All right, Alexis.
Yeah, appropriately so on this St. Patrick's Day. I will also give it a green flag. it's just been dreadful for that team, and he needs some kind of small thing, some kind of momentum-inducing moment to help turn things around, and I hope he gets it.
All right. Alan, back to you, sir.
All right. Great game there. I can't wait till next week's edition. One more segment to go, which means we have time for one more thing. One final thing. We come back. Fast talk.
Motorsports isn't complicated. It's made up of races where you go as fast as you can, as best as you can, and as sideways as you can. Our team, Toyota Gazoo Racing. Toyota makes some seriously fast cars, and they all have great drivers, ones that win, like win a lot. Denny Hamlin, Christopher Bell, they're all part of a big, happy family of speed demons. Now you're up to speed. You in? Follow the action at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association of Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
Fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
I'm Ty Dillon, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Start your engine!
Reddick goes right to the bottom of the racetrack. Chastain tries to hold on the outside.
Truex on the inside, Byron in the middle. Chastain up high.
Hamlin now beginning to come to the front. He's got the edge now. He'll take the lead away.
Brian Blaney sliding down into the grass. There was a lot of bumping and grinding. And Blaney noses into the infield retaining wall.
Ross Chastain doing a great job. Truex right there, big in his mirror as they race down the backstretch here. Harrison Burton is spinning down the back straightaway. Everybody going to the top side. Here comes Kyle Larson. Larson dives to the bottom of the racetrack. He wants to lead all four.
Chris Buescher has the edge and a spin.
coming off of turn four.
Yeah, we've got a ton of cars that are in this one, and Larson is certainly one of those cars.
Trouble coming out of turn four. Hamlin is sideways. The car spins down on the apron of the racetrack.
Byron takes that brightly painted number 24 to the front. He gets a big shove from Daniel Suarez.
This is PRN.
Welcome back to this week's edition of Fast Talk, post Las Vegas and all the excitement we saw out there. I'm Alan Cavana, joined by Lee Spencer and Alexis Erickson, and it is time for one last thing.
One last thing.
It's time to tell us what's on your mind, what you're passionate about. Lee Spencer, we'll start with you out in Las Vegas.
Well, I'm passionate about a lot of things, but the one little nugget that is sticking in my brain right now is the penalty report. Because like I said, full sheet, right? Joe Gibbs Racing entered Las Vegas with a great stat that they were leading in, and that was having three of the first four wins. On Sunday, they had 8 of 41 infractions. From top to bottom, every team had ended up on the penalty sheet. I know they're going to come back, and they're going to come back stronger. But, man, that's just not a stat you want to lead when you're at a racetrack.
A lot of penalties on Sunday. We'll see if they can clean that up when we get to Homestead, which should be an interesting race in and of itself. Alexis?
Yeah, so I want to talk about something that stole the show in Victory Lane, as Lee talked about earlier, and that is the two little puppies that John Wood had in a backpack that he carries around. These two dogs were so cute. I don't know if Dave Styles can. No, we unfortunately don't have the photo to show on our live stream, but if you have the opportunity, go check out NASCAR.com shared a video of it, and John Wood, who is the president of the Wood Brothers, has two dogs. I did a little bit of digging. Their names are Odin and Brody, and they were the cutest things. They got their picture made in Victory Lane with winner Josh Berry. They were in the post-race press conference. They were so well-behaved.
In his car during the race.
Yeah, so I just wanted to throw a shout-out to Odin and Brody, because I just thought they were the cutest little pups.
Victory Lane pups. Gotta love dogs at the racetrack and in Victory Lane. My one last thing is dedicated to the NASCAR fans. Let's start there, because Josh Berry did his part in his journey. Dale Earnhardt Jr. did his part in helping Josh Berry get to the journey. What I'm getting at, fans, is that this is what we've been calling for. This is what you've been calling for. We wanted a driver who climbed the ladder and did things the right way, without the big name, without the big money sponsorship, without doing it with the funding of a billionaire at just 16 years old. Josh Berry did it his way, climbing the ranks on the short tracks of America, sticking around, showing his talent, and getting a shot, and getting to the top of the racing series in America on talent alone, and using that to get a checkered flag, and he's now a Cup Series winner. This is the story you've wanted. These are the stories that you've wanted. We have it now. What I want from NASCAR fans, I want to see Josh Berry t-shirts. I want to see Josh Berry hats in the stands, because if this is what you wanted, you just got it. I want to see votes for most popular driver for Josh Berry, because these are the stories you say you wanted. You don't want the silver spoons. You don't want the sponsor funding teenagers. You want stories like Josh Berry. You just got it. And he's a Cup Series winner. Let's see what he can do with it now in the playoffs and possibly pursuing a championship. It's on you guys now. You got to respond. If this is what you wanted, you better show us. That is my message to the NASCAR fandom.
You know, we saw at the end of last year, they came out with, I think it was like the top 10 or top 15 rankings for merchandise sales. And if he continues to win, he will penetrate that top 10 for sure. He will be, in my opinion, if he continues to win and continues to flourish in that 21 car, especially with the rich history of the Wood Brothers, mm-hmm. that iconic paint scheme that he took to Victory Lane yesterday, I have no doubt in my mind, if things continue down the path that they're on now, he will be ranked in that top 10 of merchandise sales. If that is, if the Wood Brothers can put out a lot of merchandise for people to buy, and I believe they will.
Yeah, Lee, quickly. Well, this is a story we wanted, right?
John Wood has a really good merch game, too. I don't know if you guys have seen any of the things that he's been working on, but it's really fabulous. And back to your story, Alexis. Josh said, he goes, well, I checked that off the bucket and off the bucket list. And I said, oh, getting Josh Berry a win. And he said, no, getting the dog's picture in Victory Lane.
Although he has a pup named Riley who might be a little bit jealous when she sees those other pups with her dad in Victory Lane. But
oh, that's good stuff. Lee, thank you for joining us, getting up super early out in Las Vegas and providing all that coverage. Alexis, thank you so much for letting me be a part of this. And Doug Rice, happy to have him on the show. The birthday boy himself still joined us here out in Las Vegas, coming home with, I'm sure, all of Las Vegas's money. It's been a pleasure here hosting here today's edition of Fast Talk. Check back next week after the race out in Homestead a little earlier this year. Should bring us some interesting questions and answers. A lot to talk about. Thanks for joining us. I'm Alan Cavana. This week's edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.